Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast brought to you by Red Army Bet, a betting site with a difference. Not only are we offering the best available odds on a United win, we've also got exclusive special bets created by Reds. And as we share half our net profits with the United supporters community, no matter what, the fans can always end up winning. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app, Red Army Bet. About fans, by fans, for fans.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. Sat in Seville, in the old town, there are groups of Manchester United fans singing, "It's to you, Vincent Kompany, have you ever won the treble?" And as somebody just pointed out to me, we're talking a few days after Wigan knocked Manchester City out of the FA Cup here, Manchester United can still win the treble this year and Manchester City can't. United can still win the Champions League, can still win the FA Cup and can still win the Premier League. City cannot win it. The chances of it happening are as close to zero as I think we can get. And with Dave Pennington, Dave's the vice chair from Must. It's a long established supporter organisation which Manchester United fans will be very familiar with. They've been around for a long time. They've had their ups and the downs. They're doing a lot of good work at the moment. And I spoke to quite a few fans and asked them, told them I was speaking to David, and asked them to put some questions to him, so that they can help improve their organisation, for the organisation to become more relevant to match-going fans, if that's what they want. David, thank you for joining us.
Cheers, mate.
We spoke in Lisbon. I know that you've travelled to matches for a long time, haven't you? What's the first United game you saw?
First United game I saw I can't remember. It was one when I was at uni, and that was back in the 80s.
Yeah. And you're getting to a lot of games now?
Yep. We've only had season tickets for about the last 12 years, but yeah, for the last 10 years we've been doing a lot of the aways and the European aways and having a great time.
What is your greatest moment as a United fan, David?
As a very young United fan, I saw them win the European Cup in 1968.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them win a European Cup. I saw them lose in Rome.
I think the horrible night, Rome. Horrible night.
I think the greatest experience...
Still annoys me that night.
I know. Well, I could... there's a story for another time where we actually didn't get into the game till half time, but my best experience actually watching a match was actually the semi-final performance game at Old Trafford against Barcelona. The atmosphere was just absolutely tremendous.
You didn't get in the match at half time in Rome. There's a lad I know who didn't get into the game because he went on the beer on the way to Rome, slept in, decided to drive to Rome from that Rome suburb of northern Germany, didn't come close to making it, and then had the cheek to be on this podcast at Huddersfield giving advice to Manchester United players on how to play football. His suggestion, and I know he listens to this, was that they harry the opposition more. Manchester United players should have turned around to him and said, just get to the game first of all before giving us any advice on it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Must.
Yeah.
I've got some questions from different people. What do you think Must has done which makes you most proud of doing to help Manchester United supporters?
I think it's a series of things. It's the achievements that we've had over the last 3 to 4 years in terms of outcomes for supporters.
Give me one case.
We were instrumental in getting the club to start watering down the automatic cup scheme, so that League Cup you could opt out, and then UEFA League you got reduced prices. If it hadn't been for that consistent pressure, they would have continued to increase prices, and also I think the ticket freeze, and that was the start of it. And it started really, I guess, with the change of regime at the top. I think Must.
So this is Ed Woodward coming in, re-establishing communication between fan groups like Emusa and Must and Manchester United.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll just explain this for people who don't know, David Gill cut that communication after the Glazer takeover because he felt the fan groups and fanzines were being too critical.
Which is probably not surprising, seeing as the road to debt is the road to ruin. But yeah, I mean, clearly he got a lot of personal stick, and yeah, he pulled the plug. Must and Emusa were on the, what was at the time, the sort of early days of the fans forum, and he just sort of cut his loss and said, no, I'm not going to talk to you. Now that continued throughout his time. Now we don't know whether when Ed and Richard came in that the re-engagement was their decision or a steer or whatever, but we've taken advantage of it, and we've very much focused in the last 3 years and more on match going issues. So you know, we've done a lot with him on ticket prices. We've worked to try and improve the way ticket ballots, etc. Now we're not going to please everybody on that because everyone's got a different view. You know, we've got even little things like, you know, the club paying for visas to people going to Moscow. Now never happened,
and that
before.
Comes because you communicate the idea to them.
Suggest the idea to them, and then some of it is behind the scenes. You communicate the idea to them, they see it as a win for the club because they're improving relations, and we see it as a win for supporters. So it's, you know, I think our view now is that while they're there, and I guess I'm in the owners on that, then let's get the best deal we can for fans. We still want ultimately to have more of a say in the running of the club. You know, that was what Must was set up for, but there was a big opportunity to influence things, and obviously most recently we put a real focus in the last couple of weeks with proposals on stadium redevelopment. Now that came from us listening to what a lot of supporters want, not just our members, as you know, people might sort of argue against us.
How many members do you have?
How many members do we have? It's about 4,000
paid up. Okay.
But what we've got obviously is a lot of other members who are, you know, signed up,
who don't contribute anything.
They don't contribute anything financially, but we still want to seek their views. So when we did a 2 years ago a full supporter survey. Now we got about 5,000 responses to that. Only half of those were Must members. So we everything we do now, we'll put out on social media. We've put out the stadium letter, and we put out a link for feedback. Now since last week, we've had over 500 responses to that. A lot of whom are not necessarily even season ticket holders. They aspire to be season ticket holders. Maybe they're not season ticket holders because of all the problems that we're trying to address. So we will reach out. We see our role as supporting every supporter of United, particularly people who are match going. And match going isn't just the people who want to, you know, sing and dance and say standing, etc. It's all supporters.
How much does it currently cost to become a member of Must for an annual membership? What do you get for that?
The full cost is £15.
Yeah.
What you get for that? Well, I guess in because we are set up as a sort of a registered trust, democratic, etc. So they get rights for voting, you know, electing, etc. But actually, above that, they don't get anything more than anybody else does. What they do, you know, what it represents is that they are committed to the principles of Must, and people are stuck through that thick and thin. A lot less people than when Green and Gold and when the Red Knights were coming along, But we've got that
Then you had like hundreds of thousands of people joining up.
No, we didn't have hundreds. We had tens of thousands.
Okay. But before the Glazer takeover, I can remember seeing an article in the Sunday Times in 2005. It was over. It was north of 200,000 people.
Right. Okay. In terms of e-members, so when we launched the Green and Gold, we asked people to sign up and support the campaign. Yes, we've actually got over 200,000. So when I said 30,000, that was black people paid up because they thought they were going to buy a share in the club.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. But what we're planning to do imminently, and literally within the next few weeks, is build on what we've done. We've done a lot over the last two or three years in terms of achievements. But we haven't really publicised it enough.
But why not? Because I hear good things about what you're doing.
Yeah.
I see that you're very well respected from rival supporter groups, and yet if you speak to Manchester United fans, you'll get positives, but you'll also get negatives as well. You do a lot of good things, but you don't tell anybody about doing the good things.
We don't, and that's what we're trying to change. I mean, you know, we put out a full newsletter in, I think we actually did it on New Year's Day. And all the things that we've done, all that, and the feedback from that was fantastic.
So that goes to members who've paid?
No, we actually put it on social media as well.
And you give out badges?
Oh, yeah, we give out badges.
You didn't say that when I say, what do you get for your money? You give out really nice badges.
I was trying to sell it something a bit more significant than getting a badge, but yeah, we do give badges as well. But what we've recognised is that actually what we're doing is a lot more now on match going issues. And we've never actually actively gone out in the last 5 years and sought members. So the members are the people who were around 10 years ago and longer, so they're older. So what we're about to do is to launch another category membership. So we're going to launch what we'll call a match going membership. That will only be a fiver. The idea with that is to just contribute to our. We're a non-profit making organisation. You know, nobody has you know, sort of away days and whatever. I've paid all my expenses coming out of here, even though I'm doing a bit of business on the side. So, you know, we've got a limited number of overheads, but we have got those overheads. So what we're looking for is that if, you know, a few thousand people each pay a fiver, that covers it.
And for that fiver, what would they get? Support if things go wrong.
Yeah. Well, they'll get. One of the things
people tend to contact you when things go wrong.
Yeah, they do.
They're not members.
They're not.
They get locked up in Rome.
And we look after them.
Yeah, I know you
do. Supposed to be camp.
But surely it should be the other way around.
It should. It absolutely
should. I'm in the NUJ as a journalist, and I have to pay to be a member of the NUJ, and if things go wrong, they help me.
Yeah.
If I just go to them when things go wrong, they'd tell me where to go.
Yeah.
If I wasn't a member.
I guess we felt in the past we're supporters to us and we should be what we can for fans. So, yeah, somebody will come to us and we say, are you a member? No. Right, we'll sort you out anyway. You might want to look at joining. Now, maybe we should do that a bit more. But with a MatchGun membership, what we promote much more is that fact we are there to help people in difficulties. Now, okay, if somebody's broken the rules and beat up a policeman or whatever, etc., we're not going to do that. But we work close with the National Football Sports Federation. We will go through them. We can help them get legal representation.
So people like Amanda Jacks.
People like Amanda Jacks.
And she's for the corner of the United fans many, many times and been very effective in doing
she has.
So.
And but yeah, you're right. I mean, we don't publicise that. So we're not going to get them off. But in the first case, we'll advise them about what you can do. You know, have you got a case? If you've got a case, then let's put you on somebody. So we will make that more prominent. What we'll also do is more on a more regular basis seek their views. So we've now got this initial dialogue going on stadium development. Now, that's just pushing the surface. We've raised the big ideas, we've raised the challenges, and we've got some fairly positive response. But actually, delivering that in any way is going to be really difficult because we want to get all those things done. So we talked about reclaiming the Stretford End, we're talking about moving out the family section, etc. But what we also don't want to do is to piss off supporters who sat in seats and have got to move. So
when you move fans, it is a problem straight away.
Of course it is.
It just is. I mean, I saw lads I know this week saying, I'm in the family stand, I'm quite happy in the family stand.
Yeah.
I know lads in the executive
I've read that as well.
Block in the Stretford End, we've been going to games for 40 years.
The problem
it's an hard one.
It is. And when the singing section came on, we supported the principle of the singing section, but we had to intervene and stand for the people who'd sat in that quadrant, you know, as it was at the time in J&K, Scoreboard End as it was called, that didn't want to move. And they were Christian. And eventually an accommodation had to move. It is a difficult one. I think people have got to acknowledge that for the good of the club, they might not, you know, they've got a right to attend at Old Trafford, they've got a right to be in a certain area, but not necessarily that seat. And the club don't know, because they've got a plaque on it for you after 25 years. So we'd like to see people, small steps, but if we're going to get groups of people singing together, they need to be able to sit together. So I don't see why people can't move along three or four seats so that the club can, at the end of the season, get 10 seats together and bring a group of people in there, etc. Family stands a little bit different because you've got to move out of there eventually. There's a question about, actually, how long do you want to stay in I've never used the family stand, but a family stand that's really geared up for kids. When you get to the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, what do you want to do? Do you want to be in that family stand, or do you want to move elsewhere? So they want to move into the Stretford End or whatever. You know, we've got a situation in the lower Stretford End where people have been there 20, 30 years. We want that to be a vocal area. You know, if you've been supporting for 40 years and you're in your 70s, you probably want to stay in there. Not because you want to sing anymore, because you want to get out of the ground and not go up the steps, etc. And maybe you still want to be part of the atmosphere, but will it help the club more if you can actually be helped and maybe incentivised, you know, to move somewhere? But we don't want it to be compulsory. It's a huge issue, and the clubs see that. That's why they don't want to do things, you know, too quickly. They've got their fingers burnt on the singing section and on the disabled section of people being forced to move.
It's got to come from the fans, though, hasn't it?
It has, and it's got to be a culture. I mean,
and credible fans as well.
Yeah, yeah. But there is this mentality, and it's worse because we've now got all seated stadium. People think that's my seat. People before, you know, had a ticket in the Stretford End, and they went to the Stretford End wherever, you know, they went where they could, because everybody had taken the spaces up. But it's that mentality. I know friends in who go to Dortmund. They've got season tickets there. They live in Kent, and they go to Dortmund because it's better than go to Gillingham. And they go on the Yellow Wall. The Yellow Wall is so pleased by the Dortmund ultras. You know, when you're young and, you know, more active, you go in the middle. As you get older, you agree and you move out, and other people move in. I don't think that'll ever happen in this country. It's so difficult. But
I think the fans policing is a good idea. I stood on the Yellow Wall 2 months ago. I was very surprised to learn that they're not one happy group, that there's several splinter groups in there. Politically, they're of different persuasions, but they do have a unity when it comes to supporting the team. It's an incredible place to watch football. I think people will be listening to you now, and most of them will be agreeing, but there will be a lot of people shaking their heads because they disagree with you. And this is one problem with United's fan base. It is so fractured.
Yeah.
There are so many different groups and subgroups, and they all think they are right.
Yeah.
And they think that anyone who doesn't share their opinion, and I've done a fanzine for nearly 30 years, I've had a lot of experience in this, is an absolute wanker.
Yeah.
How do you, as an umbrella organisation, bring these people together and to work effectively when there's so many varied opinions?
I think we've got to accept that we're working for a common interest. And the problem is, I think, and it's not just a matter of United's fan groups or even any fan groups or even just football. You know, everybody wants to be the person who is seen to be the person who is influenced, most influenced. And there's a lot of egos on all sides. And you need to work together. Let me give you another sort of parallel example to that. I mean, it's part of our role. We also work nationally through the Football Sports Federation. And in that, we work with our fellow supporters trusts. And they are our bitterest rivals. Well, actually, not quite, because City don't have a fans group because the supporters trust, they don't need one.
Why don't they need one?
I don't know. They've never set one up. They've got a supporters club that is run by the club.
Yeah.
And they've got the 1894 club, I think, whatever, that are sort of like vocal and flags and everything else, and they're the ones who go to the games, but they've not got a big
independent fans, truly
all the others do. So we went close, so 20's plenty took, and we finished up with 30 quid. Everybody said no way you'll do it, so all the trusts got together, not just the United. We united under that single banner, we campaigned together, and ultimately that's what we've got. It's a safe standing. We're all working together on it. It's slow. Spirit of Shankly, who are, you know, they've done great work. They've done a survey of 25,000 people right across Liverpool, right across the spectrum, to demonstrate the support from all levels of society. Now, that, more than anything, could probably help ultimately break the deadlock. I've worked with Spirit of Shankly on this game. you know, we knew that there was problems.
The Sevilla game.
Because
Liverpool fans have problems. Yeah. Leicester fans have problems.
Yeah, they have massive problems. So we said to the club, look, this is going to be a rehibis thing for us. We're going to be charged with the same brush. Even though we know that most of the guys here have been going for 20 years and they're not going to cause trouble, but they will if they're provoked. So the
ingredients will be too many fans turning up too drunk, too late, Spanish police overreacting, which has happened before on United trips.
Of course it is. Yeah, and they'll do that.
Many times.
But you don't even need to give them a real excuse.
No.
So we spoke.
Very confrontational, the police said.
So we got direct feedback. I got direct feedback from Spirit Shankly and from Leicester Foxes. What were the problems that you had? And there were really some really serious stuff. Really badly organised. Some serious issues about female searching. So we gathered all that information, we took it back to the club with their agreement. They did the same exercise with them through a club level. As a result, they were able to come to Sevilla, make the arrangements, and agree that certain things were not going to happen. So we are not going to be corralled into blocks of the ground that we haven't got tickets for. That's what happened the last time round. They've set in up extra cordons so that we're not getting corrals that close to the ground. So we're with them on that. We've also, they've now got shafted by Porto, not quite 100 euros, but 70 euros. So we're working with them. So I'm now, through the FSF, trying to get all the English clubs still in Europe, supporting Football Supporters Europe, so that we will campaign on this issue of you know, reduced ticket prices, to try and get UEFA to change their regulations. Now, Spirit of Shankly, Spurs Trust, etc., worst enemies normally, but as fellow supporters, we recognise the benefits of working together. If our fan groups can do that, then we'll do more.
Some points that we've got from fans. What is the difference between Must and Emusa? And a lot of people who listen to this, they won't have any interest in fan politics. Some people will be really into it. What's the situation?
Well, I wasn't around at that time.
What about now then?
Split. Right. So now, basically, Emusa for the last 3 years has not existed.
Okay.
In name only, it doesn't do anything. Ian Sterling, who was co-chair of Emusa, has been vice chair of Must. So all of the activity Must used to do match going issues, so Must is now gone. So effectively,
United now have one organisation.
They have one formally registered democratic organisation. Obviously, I'm not disputing about there's other supporters groups, etc. So we brought them together. But as you said, we haven't highlighted the fact that those are the things that we do. So there is no more Emusa, and I'm sure we'll get Ian at some point and he can talk.
Yeah, I like him. He's a respect Ian, and he's been around a long time trying to help Manchester United fans. Some other questions. I respect the work you do, but your website is badly dated. Simple things like that should be sorted out. They don't give off the best impression.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not very good. As part of the relaunch, we've spent the last few months actually completely rebuilding it. Whole new website, whole new back office. And what people probably don't realise that back office system also supports your online fanzine and Red News.
Yeah.
So the whole thing has been, that's why we're unfortunately not quite at KFC levels of catastrophe. But the
website's crashed, didn't they? They crashed for a few days.
Yeah. So we're about to switch off the old website. So the new website, and obviously then we need to make sure we keep things updated. So yeah, that will be addressed.
Do you see yourself as having a significant influence now with Manchester United?
Yes, if it's around some of the things that the club see as win-wins. You know, the dialogue is on their terms, but it's better to have that dialogue.
And they still refer to you as supporter groups?
They still refer
to
supporters.
I've not seen them refer to you in name.
No, and we're working on that.
Okay.
And what concerns us is that they will use us as supporter groups. We talk to supporter groups. In other words, they agree to sort of back their stance. So they will come to us, and to be fair, you know, they came to us on this match and said, look, will we, having contributed to the guidance on security, and normally we're pretty reluctant about telling people you better get there early, etc. In this instance, we've done it, and you've seen the tweets and the messages we've put out. So they want to use us as well. So we need to leverage that as best we can. They also understand that, you know, that we have there to represent sporting interests. But what we haven't got is, you know, we certainly don't have any influence about which players they buy.
Do people ask you that?
Yes. A bit. Oh yeah, I mean, on those responses, you know, they've said, oh, I'd like the South Stand redeveloping, I'd like safe standing, and can we have a different style of play under Mourinho? So yeah, there was
welcome to my world. who are we signing? Okay, you. The relationship now with the club, you're clearly building up trust again.
Yeah.
You think this is for real, or you think that they're just being kissing cousins with you because you know that you can be a thorn inside them?
My personal view, and others in us might disagree, is that it's a bit of both.
Okay.
But my view is that if as a result of that we are getting some real outcomes and we're getting cheaper prices and we're getting visas paid for, and they will do things in terms of ground configuration that they might not otherwise have done, I'll live with that.
I sense Richard Arnold is genuine in his support for fan issues.
Yeah.
I sense other people there are less interested. Phil Townsend is a director of communications. He's always been very decent to deal with, yeah, with the fanzines, with the supporters groups. How do you think that Phil's departure, because he's leaving at the end of the season,
yeah,
will affect what you do?
Yeah, I think you're right about Richard, but bear in mind Richard, you know, is the main man in Old Trafford.
Yeah.
You know, Ed's looking at the wider picture, etc.
Yeah.
Phil, yeah, it'll be a huge loss. I first came across him, I was fortunate enough to be randomly selected to be on the fans forum 6 years ago, and he was great, and I actually started some direct dialogues with him outside of those meetings.
Do you think the fans forum works? Because I see some of the minutes and they've got the right people in there in terms of senior people at the club, and they'll get bogged down about the price of pies in a concession, yeah, which is important, but it's not that important, yeah, when there are bigger issues.
I'll come back to the sec, but just to answer the Phil Townsend thing, big loss to us, but I personally think him going to UEFA could be really positive, because there are some issues that we want to tackle with UEFA as supporters groups and as, you know, across Europe, like safe standing. You know, Platini brought in compulsory seating. You know, maybe we can look at that. Like exactly the issue we're talking about now in terms of ticket prices. Phil understands supporters and supporter interests, and if anybody can have an influence, then that's good. So I think that's a good thing. So Fans Forum, yeah, it was quite an experience because I had no idea what I was letting myself in for. I think became very quickly a maverick, because I went to the first meeting and we had some general discussions about things, and they did a bit of a presentation about health and safety. That was just really exciting, and that was it. So the next meeting was in 2 months' time, so I then sort of went out and I contacted Dale and various other sort of individuals, you know, that I'd sort of seen on the various forums, and said, what do you think we should be talking about? And it was, for them, it was like a breath of fresh air. So I instigated, and as a result of that...
So Dale, yeah, does the Reds Away section on the United We Stand forum, which gives ticket and travel advice,
yeah,
and tells you about the times of trains from Inverness to Plymouth, if you should ever need information like that.
Yeah, for a train that went yesterday. So we started, at my instigation, a review of the away ticket policy. It's probably still going on now, but I mean, it was, you know, and they did that because we asked them, and you know, we'd never set up a sort of a subgroup before. But yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, the guy next to me was the 65-year-old or plus, he was the OEP rep. And he found it a fantastic honour to be on this forum, and he regaled us all in the meeting with stories about how we'd met Duncan Edwards and he was the best player.
But that's a waste of time, though, surely.
Yeah, well, and he also wanted diabetic food, etc. It is,
yeah,
and that was the problem. You only got so much done.
Because we get letters to United We Stand which start with, before I start, I've been a fan since,
yeah,
and then they give you the life history, and then they get,
yeah,
to the point,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
why aren't we signing Messi?
Yeah.
And I think if you're in that fans forum and you have senior people at the club there, with respect to the stories from the 65-year-old man,
yeah,
it's just wasting time.
No, it is. And you know, that, but that's the way they chaired the meeting. They want to carry. I mean, we were specifically not given a mandate on players. I do remember one of the other delegates haranguing David Gill outside of the sort of formal bit about, you really got to keep this Paul Pogba on the books. Now, this is back in 2011. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And David said, so we're working on it, but I've nothing to do, you know, I can't say anything about it. But anyway, obviously he didn't work on it hard enough because it didn't work. So it's limited, it's not elected, but which is why I think our dialogue with the club is much more influential.
Yeah.
And we've now got, in last year, we now have a place back on the forum. So Ian Sterling goes along to that, and we get that side of it, but we do the rest of it. You know, any negotiation, diplomacy.
The sound in the background is two horses and carts going past, looking to solicit business from Manchester United fans and not getting any. I think if there was a beer dispenser on board the horse and carts, you might get a bit more business. Or somewhere to put your broken toe into.
Bear in mind, the fans forum serves a purpose. It's a Premier League rule requirement that they have one.
Yep.
Everybody does it. Some are worse than ours. You know, some are hand selected, which is worse. Ours are random, I believe. Yeah. So if you're a season ticket holder, you know, and you put yourself in, then three names are drawn out. I don't know whether I've no reason to have any proof that people are deselected, etc. But in others, they are actually handpicked, and they're handpicked for obvious reasons. I was just talking to a man before, and you know, that's exactly what they've done at West Ham. Yeah, right. They have their own supporters forum.
Yeah.
And they're handpicked.
Yeah.
So
I met West Ham's main press guy in November and was struck by what an impressive and switched on young man he was.
Yeah.
And was surprised that he'd been let go only 2 months after that.
Did he understand football supporters?
I think he did understand football fans, and that's probably why Karen Brady felt threatened and let him go.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely.
I think there are other things, and not to go into detail here, but there are things underfoot at West Ham to try and improve by supporters to try and get things changed.
And then another issue with Seat United is, I call them three-year heroes. They come along, they join the club, they're everywhere for 3, 4, 5 years, they get Manchester United on the CV, and then they move on to a better paid job elsewhere. And so you establish a relationship and trust with people, and maybe this is just normal business. Right, Kevin? Right, David? Sound mate, are you?
Alright.
And I remember Jonathan, the marketing guy, a couple of years ago, he seemed very fan friendly, he seemed pretty engaged, and then he moves on. Carl Evans at the ticket office, firmly behind the idea of the singing section, and then he moves on. And you almost have to start
Carl
again.
Was moved on, actually, but
well, for whatever the reasons, it's still a frustration. When you've got the trust of these people.
No,
you just start again.
Yeah.
Often with people who don't understand fan culture.
We could argue the same about Phil, I suppose, that he's been there 10 years or more.
14?
But it's a problem. The problem is, they all see it, and it is a business. And they'll bring the right people in. I mean, the operations manager at the club now was hijacked from City. Now knows his stuff, etc. Carl was great. Carl was frustrating in a lot of ways because he wouldn't want to change anything, particularly around tickets and ballots and things. But he knew supporters.
Because he was a supporter.
He was
a match going red. He went to away games.
Absolutely, as he was. Yeah, and I think I said to you, I mean, I know at the time Phil told me that he still kept his season ticket. I imagine he's still got it now.
Yeah, he has. He has.
It was a safety just in case he got the boot, I guess.
I'm not sure how he ties that in with being in charge of Bury Football Club as well, because they often play on a Saturday, but then I suppose United rarely do play on a Saturday. So we can do it. So you would like more United fans to join Mush. You're going to look at this idea of a £5 a year membership where you back match-going Manchester United supporters. That is one of the main things you're looking to do.
Well, we're not just looking to.
You're going
to
do it.
It is almost ready to
as well as the atmosphere stuff,
absolutely,
as well as the ticket pricing,
specifically
for European away games, hoping to follow the success we've had domestically.
Because what you mentioned about the stadium development and the ticket, etc., is the sort of things that, as an organisation, we represent supporters on. We want to keep getting their views in. We want to keep representing. We also want to provide them with a bit more help as well. We could do a little bit more about match day and match day information. We started running, and we'll continue running where we can, screens of away matches.
In Manchester?
Yeah.
You didn't say that. That's another thing.
Initially in Manchester, So yeah, we ran two. We ran it for the Liverpool match, and we had Norman Whiteside. We ran it for the Chelsea match. not particularly good matches or results in either instance, but yeah, there's only so many you can do. The other thing that we're involved in, but it's not a must event, but I'll trail it, is a 68 celebration dinner on the last weekend of the season. So we're doing that with no prawn sandwiches. People have seen it, they might not realise that's actually Alex Stepney's son that's running it. So that'll be a big event.
I hope people listening to this like flamenco inspired guitar music. I know that Steve Armstrong is a big fan of flamenco music. You go home and away with Manchester United, you pay your way as a fan, you've been listening to this conversation. How do you view must and what you think they need to be doing?
What's been really interesting in the last 2 or 3 months through other things I've been doing in my life is how must are viewed outside of United. I've had engagement with supporters trusts from God knows how many clubs. I won't name them, but you meet them and you think, you know, you're absolutely rudderless. You've got no goals. You've got no real objectives. You know, you don't have a purpose. So you look at that and you think, well, if you haven't got a purpose, what's the point of existing? And that's exactly what a lot of them did. They just exist. They don't actually achieve anything. What's been really, really interesting, I class myself as a fan who never... I like Must, I respect Must, I respect all the guys. Never needed them. But I respect the fact that there are people out there who rely on the supporters' trust, etc., etc. What's been really intriguing for me over the last 3-4 months is the high regard that Must is held in outside of Manchester United fans. As in, and I think Must's reputation outside of United fans is probably even higher than it is within. And that's been really interesting, listening to leaders of trust from other clubs talking about how they aspire to be like Must, how they really regard the Manchester United Supporters Trust, how they value the opinion of people who are involved with it, etc. So that's been a real eye-opener. I think from our point of view, if I look in it from a purely supporter point of view, I'm sitting there thinking, you do so many good things, but you don't shout about it. So why don't you start shouting about that? And I used to work for a company who took 2 decades to start shouting about the things it did well. Was quite happy to get twatted into a corner because of paranoia about talking about the things for fear of being seen as being bragging or gloating or whatever, you know. But you should talk about the things that you do well, and you should be able to champion successes that you've had in any organisation, whether it be football, life, business or whatever. So I think Must have got to do more of that. You know, good people involved. Ultimately, they're all governed by the same thing. They all want to achieve the same thing, which is to create a better match day experience for Manchester United fans. So we're all on the same page. But I think if you link it back to something I said in the last mag about the problem with United support in a minute, and it won't admit it, but it's gone so scouse, it's untrue, in the sense of it's now almost being undone by the fractions within it. And if you try and do good things, you're just going to get slaughtered by somebody who's got a problem with that. Either because, A, they don't agree with your point, which is fine, or they just don't like the fact that you're actually out there with a profile in the public eye within the Manchester United fans community, and they just don't like that. So you're going to get absolutely panned from it. And you've got to think about the psychology and the mentality of people at Must, like, you know, Duncan, Ian, Dave, or whoever. You know, at some point, it must be draining for them to, no matter what they try and do to do the right thing, they're getting fucking panned by people. Some of it might be with a legitimate point that I'm sure if they actually went and sat down with them and said, look, you know, we don't like this, we think you should do this, or have you considered that? I'm sure they'd be absolutely open to that. But instead, they're getting twatted on social media, they're getting panned in the, you know, by various other things. And the other thing that you've got there then is that just creates levels of resentment. And what's undone Liverpool support, and as you know, I know a lot of people in that part of town as well, you know, they're arguing and scratching each other's eyes out and whinging and bittering against each other. That's what's undone their supporter movement. And what you've got now at United is exactly the same
and
thing.
And City
happening.
Had it as well. They've got no unity.
Yeah. Exactly. So the problem that, you know, Must are going to have is that I think Must have got to step up and start talking about the things they do well, first and foremost. I think they've got to start focusing on things that they can influence. I mean, with the greatest of respect, the Glazer ownership. Look, you can't compete against business. You can't compete against money. Don't waste your time. You know, concentrate on the fans. Concentrate on the supporter experience. Concentrate on giving supporters a voice at a club where ultimately, because I think that's another important thing. What Manchester United fans want more than anything else is somebody listening to the things that matter to us. And that's what Must have got to do. So what Must, I think, have got to do a great job of is encouraging fans, inspiring fans, and letting fans know that, listen, your points, the things that matter to you, are getting heard at the top table. And that's the important part of what any supporter trust is all about. Because if you don't, if you're not getting it, it's like an MP. If an MP's... One thing that, you know, Must will always tell you about, we're match-going fans, we're here, we're there, we're everywhere, fine. But you get some MPs who are all, you know, forever in the constituency, forever busy in the locality from where they represent, and that's good. But if they're not in Parliament to represent that, what's the fucking point? But then you get the other MPs, and this, I see this with so many trusts, they're never in the constituency in the football world. They're just mincing around at dues and events, mincing around at football authority dues. They achieve nothing. They're just so keen on being seen at big events and actually achieving anything. So they're the typical MP who is never near the constituency to throw in Parliament. But that's what Football Trust have got to do. How do you get the right amount of time between your Parliament time, your constituency time, same with football, how do you get enough time to represent your fans, be a Mount fans, and then be in a position where you can represent that at the levels where it's going to get heard and where the difference is going to make. Must ultimately, whether we agree with this, like this or not, that the most highly regarded football trust out there is run by people who are most highly regarded, highly rated in amongst other football supporting trusts. And we're lucky to have that. What I think Must have got to do then is channel the great position they're in into doing the right things in the right areas where they can influence the right people.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, David. Thank you for your time. Well, quickly, because we're out of time.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely a lot. I mean, I wasn't around in the early days. The supporter antagonism has worked absolutely against us. A lot of it is personal. You know, but as far as as clubs are concerned, it's just divide and rule. You're right, absolutely. We've got to get together. We can get that message across. Well, I hear that message. We'll do something about it.
Thank you both of you for your time, and feel free to enjoy the rest of your day in Seville, and hopefully Manchester United will get the right result.
Thanks for listening to the latest United We Stand podcast, brought to you by Red Army Bet. We offer the best available odds on a United win, as well as a host of special bets created by Reds. With half our net profits being donated to United supporters groups, Red Army Bet is about fans, by fans, for fans. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app. Red Army Bet, we all follow United.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.